Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it is, and that's why the stories are coming fast and furious. I don't even know where to begin, so I should ask how an assistant coach at South Carolina ends up being a quarterback. We have a high school fiasco for a high school that appears is not really even a high school. And not to mention, we have conference realignment, all the good stuff that gets us ready for the season.
Yeah. I mean, look, the South Carolina one, we kind of heard a version of that. That's how Gardner Minshew became a phenomenon at Wazoo. He was all set to try to become basically an assistant coach or work his way into the GA pipeline at Alabama, and ended up giving football one more shot. And we'll see if Zeb Nolan ends up becoming a future NFL quarterback.
All right, we know that you've been around a lot of this, and you've heard twisted tales, as a lot of us have, but you're really dialed in. So I want to know what happens when you start hearing about a school that's on national television that has no business playing on national television in a feature game against IMG Academy. And then you realize not only is this school really kind of a total sham, doesn't even really exist, but that some of these kids might not even be high school age.
You know, it honestly reminded me about, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe more than that, or maybe even 20 years ago. I did a story on this basketball school that basically was just that. I didn't even know it was just a basketball team. And it started out of the team was Mount Zion Christian Academy, which is where Tracy McGrady went. And they basically, a coach just basically took a team and moved to, a one-room building and the difference with that group, and it was just crazy to hear about it. There was, bizarre, kind of a religious connection, but it was very, it's just odd. And there was a little bit of Lord of the Flies with the players, just kind of unsupervised and how they were kind of trying to deal with this and manage everything. What is different to me about this one was that basketball team and certainly a lot of others have popped up similar to what that became over the next, 15, 20 years, was they were really, really elite players from all over the country. It doesn't sound like they may have had a couple of kids who were recruitable, but it was a lot of guys, and even just using the word kids is wrong, because you had a bunch of guys who were over over age. It's just bizarre. And then when you start talking to, and I talked to a bunch of recruiting coordinators in the last 36 hours about, when did you first hear about this school, and it felt to me a lot like a bad TV show idea about high school football that actually turned into reality.
Yeah, we talked to yesterday. We had a chance to talk to a parent that was sending his 6'6" quarterback there, and then found out about a few months in that this wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And by the end of the call, at the beginning, I was like, this guy didn't do any of the research. By the end of the call, I said, I can understand being sold on this premise that maybe your kid could get better offers and that you could appear on national television.
The part to me, yeah, that all I can see, and I read, that particular parent, I know that Ari Wasserman from The Athletic, he talked to that parent. I know that awful announcing. I've seen that, that dad quoted and given his perspective in a couple of different places now. The part that is kind of mind-boggling to me is, quite honestly, how ESPN really got sold on this, where it's one thing if they said, hey, we have, and if you went over a list of marginal, let's say they're group of five recruits, maybe they're not kids where, oh, that kid's definitely going to Michigan or Penn State or Ohio State, so people know exactly what's going on with that kid. But if they took kids that they said, hey, this is a name, we're going to say this kid's on our roster, yeah, he's coming. And granted, it's, you know, in a pandemic, there's been a lot of extra crazy stuff that's gone on. And then they showed them a roster. Hey, here's our projected roster. And then when it came to the game, then ESPN was like, wait, none of these guys are on this team is one thing. But if it's just like nobody did the real due diligence and all of a sudden, you know, when they're out there looking at it and like, wait a minute, who are these guys? Never mind even the fact that this team played a game within 36 hours before. Like, how is that, you know, healthy and logical? It's not basketball. It's not baseball. It's just a different sport and different kind of, you know, demands. It was just a complete disaster. That quite honestly, if it was not on ESPN, I think came into more scrutiny, I imagine, you know, it still probably goes on because nobody's thinking to look under the rock on this one.
And not only that, Bruce, we have big time college football, or I should say high school programs in the state of Ohio that have scheduled this team. We had Akron Hoban, we had St. Ignatius a year ago, St. Ed's is on the schedule this year, before they get ready to play the Holy War against St. Ignatius. They didn't apparently do enough research either. So everybody apparently fell prey to this.
Yeah, and I think it's something where, look, I get last year especially, it's in a pandemic. I think there was a lot of people who were scrambling and in scramble mode, not just schools, but parents. And so a lot of that I can see how the details and the lack of due diligence, you know, the part that to me was the most puzzling of all of it was just the ESPN aspect of like, wait a minute, who do we sign on for? This is the team. No, wait, like that's not, you know, you name it, you know, player that we were expected to be out there. He doesn't go to this school and there was never intentions of it. It was kind of the perfect storm. And I think if anything, so much stuff out there is fast and loose with how these things kind of can come together. And once people see it, it's like they start kind of unwrapping it. They're like, I think there's going to be, Anthony, I think there's going to be like 10 different compelling stories about this because there's so many different layers of it that I think are going to be fascinating.
Bruce Feldman joining us on the hotline. Let's transition over to college football. We are getting started already. Week zero well underway, and a lot of Ohio State fans listening are excited but also intrigued by the fact that, you know, this is Ryan Day's program now. Not really necessarily all of Urban Meyer's players. It's his turn to see what he can do with his team, and he's got to work in a brand new quarterback. What do you make of their situation going into the year?
I think they're going to be really good on offense. I mean, you have the best receiver room in the country. You have, I think, three really dynamic running backs. I've heard great things, especially about Travion Henderson. You have a huge offensive line. C.J. Stroud from out here on the West Coast. I know a bunch of people who spent a bunch of time with him. I was actually around him a little bit a couple of weeks back when he was out here training. You know, he's a very sharp, sharp kid. I think he is going to hit the ground running. Ryan Day's really good with quarterbacks and really good with offense. I don't think that is going to be a concern, to be honest. I think they will have a legit, you know, as dangerous an offense as anybody else going to put out there, just because I think they're so good on the outside and they have, you know, I think they can beat you in a lot of different ways with the run game, with what they're going to be able to do. With you add these two new, you know, not new in the Mayan Williams case, but you add Travion Henderson in there again with a, you know, a bigger, more straight line guy in Master Teague. You have the big offensive line, all that stuff. I'm buying.
The defense is something that was a bit of a concern last year. You saw it get exploited in the national championship game, although that Alabama team might have exploited any defense the way they were clicking on all cylinders. So what can you say to Buckeye fans who might be hesitant to think this is a national championship contender because of that defense?
That's the one thing that gives me some hesitation. Like, I have them as a playoff team in large part because of the offense. Defensively, let's not mince words, they were not very good last year. And look, some of it you had a new coordinator taking over. It was a new coordinator in a fractured offseason coming out of a pandemic. I get all that. The part where I think if I was being very optimistic, I'd be like, okay, they have upgraded the athleticism, especially on the edges. Two great freshmen coming in. Larry Johnson has a lot of pieces to work with. I think that will help. The part that gives me concern, though, is they were really shaky on defense last year, and that was with a lot of experience at linebacker. And Pete Warner was a really good player. He's gone. I mean, so I get it. They have big recruits at linebacker who've been there. I mean, Taraja Mitchell's been there for a while, but they really don't. I mean, that is honestly, that is a TBD on that. I've heard really good things about Denzel Burke. I think they'll be good enough on the back end because I think the D-line will help them. But again, you know, like, to me, that's the part where I'm like, I think they're a playoff team. Do I think they will win a national title? That's the part where I'm not as convinced, just because, again, I think there are some question marks. Like, Jeff Hafley was a godsend hire for Ryan Day when he took over. He did an amazing job with the defense. They fell off last year for a variety of reasons. I think they'll be better. They have to get a lot better, though, I think, if they're going to try to really make a run at winning a national title.
Now, obviously, you've had a chance to cover Ryan Day. You certainly extensively covered Urban Meyer, and even before him, Jim Tressel. What is the difference now with Ryan Day as he gets to establish his program? Now, we already know he's done a great job winning and doing it with Urban's players and kind of continuing, you know, based on what Urban had already built. But now it's going to be his time. What do you notice from the way that he coaches and what you're hearing about him?
The really good things for Ryan, I think he's smart. I think he took the best aspects of Urban Meyer's program. You know, the nuts and bolts, you know, really lived out of, you know, kind of Mickey Marotti. I think the recruiting model, to me, it's a no-brainer to keep Larry Johnson, brilliant defensive line coach with the connections he has in terms of all he invests in the players he coaches. Brian Hartline, I think, was such a great addition when he took over in the receiver room. I mean, I think they're really good with the details. I think that stuff is good. Kevin Wilson's a good offensive coach. All those things, I think, were really, really top-notch. The part where I think he has put some nice additions to it is with Urban, and look, I worked with Urban last year, and I think a lot of him, but he lives in such an absolutes world where I think it is, you know, you hear the expression, it was fourth and inches, 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. That can wear on people, especially when you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And I think, you know, it's like going to be human nature. There are going to be some highs and lows when it's that that intense all the time. People just can't. It's like a fist that gets clenched. Sooner or later, there's going to be a little spasm to it. And it felt like every year, it's like, you know, it's hard to get an A game every week out of 18, 19, 20-year-olds. I think the challenge that they would have is there was a week or two, it felt like every year, where it wasn't going to be even the B game. It might be a D game. You know, it was like come out completely flat against an Iowa or a Purdue or something where it just felt like, man, they are not ready to play. I think Ryan's temperament and gives them a lot more flexibility in that, in terms of that. And I think they're less likely to have some of those off weeks where they just can't be ready to play, just because I think he has probably, it's just a different vibe around the building.
Bruce, what did you make of the bizarre press conference that we all watched last week, where the Big Ten and these other conferences talked about that they had all come to a pact, but yet hadn't really signed anything? There's no real documentation behind it, no legalese. What's next for conference realignment?
It's a great question. I mean, right now it's like I think you have three new commissioners. One's fairly new in Kevin Warren, the other two, Jim Phillips from the ACC, and George Klaukov, are brand new. I think they're just trying to figure out Where are we aligned? They're not going to vote in an absolute voting block on all issues, but I think it's a reaction, honestly, to what Greg Sankey and the SEC did. I think there's concern also about it's kind of a monopoly between the SEC, ESPN, you know, catering to those interests above all else. And I think it's a way for them to kind of pump the brakes and see, okay, maybe are we in a better place to let the CFP eventually go to market in terms of what it means from other broadcast partners. There's a lot of people around college athletics who feel like they need to look at how the NFL operates on that front, where it's not just one exclusive partner. And so there's probably more financial opportunity. There's probably another aspect of more voices in the room, which they think, you know, could be good on that front. So to me right now, like the scheduling parts, I mean, those schedules, some of them are so far down the road, and they were like, yeah, we're going to honor them. So it's like, I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing, because I don't think it is, but we have to really wait and see what are they going to be able to come together actually on.
We're all confused. We have no idea. It seems like it's all going to lead to most likely 4 super conferences. That's at least what Herb Street said when we talked to him a few weeks ago. It's very confusing, but, you know, we're college football fans. We're going to watch it no matter what.
Yeah, and we're going to adjust. I mean, look, to me, you know, we talked a lot about NIL. We talked a lot about a lot of other things. You know, Thursday night, I can't wait. You know, I imagine anybody who's listening to this is feeling the same way. You know, it's like those are the things at the end of the day. It's like what happens on the green grass that we can't quit it, you know, kind of thing. No matter how people may tweak it, whether, you know, sometimes the changes are for good, I think, but sometimes they're just kind of change for change sake.
All right. Excellent perspective. You can see your work always. Fox, you're athletic, you're everywhere, writing books, terrific stuff. Let's do this again.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.